Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week, as well as the Champions League and the Europa League too. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Manchester City are Premier League champions for the third time in four seasons. We'll recap how they did it and if anyone can stop them next season. Chelsea's disappointing defeat at Stamford Bridge to Arsenal. Leicester City's crucial win over Man United to put them 8 points clear of West Ham, and a preview of that big match at Old Trafford between United and Liverpool. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, my friend, we have a champion. Always nice to be able to say that. I think we all knew that Man City, from a few weeks out, were probably going to be the team to do it, Rob. We certainly didn't. Well, I didn't certainly didn't think about it at the start of the season. I had Liverpool winning again. Of course, it went badly wrong for them with injuries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who did you have at the start, Rob? Did you have Man City?
I had Man City. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
So go on then. So you got it right. What did they do? What cut them apart, Rob? Why were they dominant?
They didn't listen. The start of the season wasn't in great form. I think it was like 3 defeats in the first 7, something like that. We weren't so sure, wondering whether it was a time of as Pep's voice started to have a different effect. Has the league maybe got used to them? Is their passing game not quite as sharp? Is a little bit of their hunger gone? There was lots of reasons to look at the team early on, Rob, and go, maybe it isn't going to happen this year. But as ever, Pep's football came through, and we hit around January, Rob, and they went 27 wins in 28 games in all competitions. It was something like a 20-odd game run in the Premier League. Job done. Over. That run of games, that amassing of points was bigger and better than anybody else could put together. And so even with not a great start and some might say whatever in the finish, that run of games, that unbeaten run basically took him to the title.
I think when you consider this season, Rob, and how difficult it's been with the pandemic, and starting in September, and it's a truncated season with all the amount of games, it was really hard for every club.
Yeah.
But Manchester City and this squad and this manager handled it the best. Handled it the best. And we always know with Pep City and any team, actually, that he rotates more than anybody else. This was the season to do that. When there's so many games, and given the size of their squad, the quality of their squad, the grooved nature of the team and the manager and the player's understanding of what he wants, that familiarity, if you like, given this particular season, was just too much for everybody else. I think they're 10 points clear right now. There's a few games left.
Yeah.
Before we get into some specifics of individual players, I just think a masterful coaching, managing situation after a sticky start, and then through the rotations, Rob, I think he just figured out his best 11, which is a little different, relying on different players this year. It wasn't an Aguero year or a Sterling year. It was other people. It was Riyad Mahrez stepping up to his best, Phil Foden coming through and showing us what player he's going to be in the future with a tremendous season. Ilkay Gundogan. We'll get into some of the details, Rob, but well done for a difficult season and coming out, you know, the top of some good football clubs that have found it less easy to win during these difficult times.
It's interesting as well, Rob, because Pep's come out and said it was the toughest title he's won. He said he's been in Spain, he's been in Germany. By far, the English Premier League is the hardest league that he's worked in. And to win it under those circumstances, as you say, truncated season, no fans, amount of games they've got to play, European football, dealing with injuries and all that the COVID brought to get it done. And I kind of thought, let me have a little look back through a couple of fixtures where things were decided, were changed, where things happened. And I've got a draw, Mr. Musto, a 1-1 draw with West Bromwich Albion on December the 15th. Manchester City was sitting sixth in the league. It was a Slaven Bilic team, the last game that Slaven Bilic played. And Manchester City drew 1-1. And folklore has it now, apparently, Fernandinho called a squad meeting with the players, no manager, no staff, and talking to some of the players about this ain't good enough. Who are we? What are we? What do we stand for? How do we play football? Fernandinho went to have a conversation with Pep. Pep enjoyed this conversation. He went to his staff and said, we have to go again. We've got to be better. We've got to work harder. We've got to... The whole club, Rob, from a 1-1 draw with West Bromwich Albion, ignited and got back to themselves. And I'm going to give you one more date, and I believe we were doing the game. It was in away at Chelsea in January. I think it was still Frank Lampard in charge, I believe. Yeah, I think it was still Frank. And Manchester City went away to Stamford Bridge, and, you know, they'd had a couple of results, but it wasn't quite going well. And when we looked at the team sheet, Kevin De Bruyne is a false nine. I had Phil Foden one side. I think it might have been Sterling on the other. And we were looking at this team going, I mean, there's no centre forward. There's no Aguero, there's no Jesus, there's no centre forward. And for 5 or 10 minutes, Chelsea were living with the thing. And then Manchester City blew them away in a 15-minute spell. I don't know if you remember it, mate. And there was one where De Bruyne went on that left-hand side, nutmeg, somebody played a ball across, and Foden rattled it in for the third. They were 3-0 up. And it was almost like there was an embedding of confidence in what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. And from that day on, that false nine outfoxed, outthought, outmaneuvered so many teams when there was no Aguero, no Jesus, no 20-goal striker at the top of the pitch, yet people couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I think that was a key tactical decision that he made. I think it's a really good point, just going back to the Fernandinho meeting. I tell you, at that point, we were like, which way is this going to go with this team? Is Pep, can he go again? Or is it going to be like, oh, he's so demanding and intense? But so that's a really good point. And I think the false nine situation obviously is a big, big factor as well. Aguero's out injured, but Jesus had done okay. And the other thing, Rob, as well, has to be the defensive improvement.
Yeah.
This team last year, Rob, remember looking at the figures. They scored a ton of goals last year, but obviously defensively with
Otamendi. 101, wasn't it? 101 goals.
I think it was something like that. Yeah, it was a real big number. Goals, yeah. It was an obvious stat, like, okay, defensively it's got to get better. And it did. I mean, Ruben Dias was a lot of money, 23-year-old player, a Portuguese defender that's come in to spectacular success. So when you bring that in, you bring the spirit from the captain and the club basically giving itself a shake, and you give the system-wise with the false nines and Phil Foden's emergence, there's your kind of recipes into how this happened.
I've got one more for you, though, because and I know you'll like this one. Again, over the last couple of days, just started trying to dig into a little bit of detail what might have happened. And I'm reading a lot, Rob, that there was a spell where even Pep, in the great ones, is kind of considering with the start and the way that the league was going and the amount of games, questioning himself a couple of times. And apparently, again, it's out there for people to discover if they want to. Juan Marlillo, the assistant coach, apparently had a really positive thing on saying to him, stick with what you believe. We've got this right. We need to work. He changed the shape. He was one of the two holding midfield players at times to give him a bit of a break. But said, our football will do what it's got to do. We've just got to be better at when we turn over that we don't get done. Apparently, he had a really big effect on the time when Pep might have been thinking about going another way. And he's a guy who's come in who gets no publicity, is not in front of the cameras. But recently we've seen he's a guy who Pep's in his ear, who's talking to Pep, who's now, once the other week I saw him sort of shouting at Pep as if to say, go on, you go and tell him. And I think he is an addition, Rob, that doesn't get any kind of credit. But I read a couple of reports where Pep's just said, you know, I needed my number two when Marlino stood up and supported me when I needed it.
I remember Leo coaching in Spain, and he's a flamboyant one of those guys, super experienced now. It's a really good point. And just before we go on to individuals, Rob, just on that tactically, because, you know, for the most part, for the longest time, really, Pep's been a 4-3-3 guy. Yeah. And he does it, of course, every system he does a little bit different with those two number eights in midfield, really, really bombing on. But he's kind of shaking it down to basically a 4-4-2. His best team in the Champions League now is a 4-4-2, but the two strikers obviously are not strikers. It's Bernardo Silva and it's Kevin De Bruyne that are your double false nines, where they'll stay up. They'll be up there at certain points. Without the ball, they'll be there. But when they have possession, they're all over the place. Mm. And they're so good in possession, and you've got your wide players. So just think, you know, Pep playing a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Of course, different to any 4-4-2.
Yes. It's not a Sean Dyche 4-4-2, is it?
It's not a Sean Dyche 4-4-2. But that ties in with the Leo point.
Yeah.
That maybe a different suggestion of tactical side of it. It's Gundogan for the most part alongside Rodri. Mm. It just gives them maybe a little bit more insurance on the counter-attack, as well as those guys back there that all of a sudden love defending and they're hungry to defend. All these tactical bits and spiritual bits and assistant managing bits is really important, Rob. But let's pick out a few key players, Rob.
Yeah.
What would you say? Who's kind of been special for his manager this season?
The one special piece that's come in is Ruben Dias.
Yeah.
23 years of age. That's a special piece, Rob. That's the difference maker. That's a defender who does anything to keep the ball out of his net. Doesn't really look like he cares. He's all business. We've had chats with him. Defends, gets the ball smashed all over the place, almost like, hit me in the face, that's great. You know, I'm not going to let it in. Just a natural-born defender that Pep's teams have had in the past, Pep with the companies and the Puyols. They look like they've got one in Dias at 23 years of age. He's 6 or 7 years of top level of this guy who influences people around him as well, Rob. He's a talker. He's a leader. He's got John Stones better. I think Kyle Walker's benefiting from him being in the team. I think the goalkeeper, just one of those guys, the two in front have become more disciplined because of his influence and his voice and his communication. They've got a special player in Ruben Dias.
Yeah, I'll go the other end of the pitch, Robin, and the seasons that, first of all, Riyad Mahrez has had his best Man City season, where he looks much more comfortable in a City shirt, and his abilities and his goal scoring and his crossing and has been fantastic, a big part of it.
Yeah.
And also Phil Foden. Phil Foden. Wow. Yeah. We've been wanting to see more Phil Foden for a long time now. Pep's been super patient with him, and there's been times where like he needs to play. Well, he's unleashed him at the right time. His emergence on the left-hand side, which is Raheem Sterling's spot, I think is one of the most surprising parts of this City dominance and success this year, is really, for the most part, I mean, of course, Sterling's contributed, you know, at different times, but it feels like to shake out the best team, Sterling's not in it, and that's because of Phil Foden. So that's the other player. And then one more before we get onto some underappreciated, Rob. Ilkay Gundogan.
Ilkay Gundogan's got to be in there, my friend.
You talked about that period of games where the crazy win. Well, I didn't see anybody else doing too much scoring, Rob. Ilkay Gundogan popped up with so many goals from an advanced midfield position that really kept the season alive in some ways.
I made a note, Rob. Kevin De Bruyne, 5 goals. Jesus, 8 goals. Aguero, 2 goals. Sterling, 10 goals. He's come a little bit late. Gundogan, 12 Premier League goals.
I know.
Based on what that false nine, based on that situation, Gundogan's, if you take Gundogan's goals out, they're not in that, they're still in a fight. They ain't won yet. Yeah. Gundogan's, and it was something that we didn't see, or I didn't know or didn't see, that there's 12 plus goals in this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it came again through another tactical innovation.
Yeah.
Cancelo was at that point, Rob, was playing as a fullback, and with the possession, he'd go into a holding midfield position, which then pushed, literally, like, on you go. You go and get forward and try and score goals. And that's when we saw this instinct around the box of where the ball's going to get, a couple of lovely little side foot finishes into corners, being in the right place at the right time, tapping in goals. So, again, another little tactical tweak from Pep that got the best out of his team in terms of scoring, when they didn't really have their top goal scorers in great form.
Let's go to a couple of underappreciated players then, mate, because it's sometimes easy to talk about them. I think Gundogan has got the plaudits, but the number of goals is remarkable from a player. I'm going to go with one, my friend, who I think sometimes people think he's not really Pep's type of player. Kyle Walker. He's quick and he's physical and he can be quite aggressive. Some think he's a bit of a car crash. I mean, there was, you know, people in the media saying, "Oh, he's a car crash waiting to happen," and he's reckless around the box. And certainly, Cancelo came in much better on the eye, lovely footballer, beautiful little technician. But actually, over the course of a season, Manchester City have needed Kyle Walker. They've needed his defending. They've needed his aggression. They've needed his understanding of his role in the team. At times he's going to have to defend and his pace can get back and get you out of trouble. And he was a player, Rob, who I think starting the season, certainly as the season was going on, I'm looking at that and thinking, Kyle Walker's not in Pep's first 11, unfortunately. He's a guy to come on when you need him in defence. But all of a sudden, towards the second half of the season and on, not only has Kyle Walker cemented his place, he's become a very, very important part of this team up down that right-hand side. The games against PSG, when we needed defending against some of the best European players in the world, Kyle Walker is almost that guy back in the day where we used to say, put him on your best player and keep him quiet. Kyle Walker's got that ability.
Yeah, he has got ability, and it's so important for Man City. Again, it tied in with the tactical stuff. Cancelo, left back, goes into midfield. And the three of them, Rob, so Walker as a right back, stayed back. Cancelo's in the midfield, and the other three, it was Diaz, Stones and Walker, were looked like a three at the back. So again, a little innovation there. And it's using Kyle Walker, Rob, where he's best, like defensively. I mean, he's not great going forward and playing 1-2s and playing through balls, but he's a great defender.
They've got plenty of them who can do that, to be fair.
Yeah, they have. It's a good shout. Like, and this is kind of what we've always kind of picked out, players that are kind of important to the team, but not really lauded. And Kyle Walker this season particularly is a great shout. I'm going to pick one. And I can't give you a ton of data and fact about him, Rob. I don't think his numbers are amazing. But Bernardo Silva, I love as a player. I love a player. And this is maybe because I'm English and I love our national team in England. We always seem to lack that technical footballer. Bernardo Silva is super technical, brilliant possession, never gives the ball away. And there was a period of time, was it the start of the season or maybe last season, where he didn't get in the team a lot.
Yeah, and towards the end of last
Bernardo
year.
Silva, yeah, Bernardo Silva is such an important player, and he has popped up with assists, with goals. He's been that false nine. He's an intelligent player, pops up in different spots. If players run forward, he just pops into a little on the right-hand side to get to receive the ball. And he's so trusted. And that's what this whole thing with Pep, with not really trusting his strikers right now to keep possession that he needs his team to do, because if they turn it over, they're a little bit in jeopardy defensively. And Bernardo Silva's that guy. Again, with De Bruyne, with Mahrez, with Foden, with everybody else, with Gundogan and all the defenders, I think he gets left out a little bit. So Bernardo Silva, I couldn't love him anymore as a little player. Great attitude. He's got a little bit of fire in his belly. And he's a footballer. He's a player. And in particularly in any team, in a Pep's team, you need somebody who can give him the ball and he'll wiggle out of situations. I mean, a bit like, I remember he had it to, Andres Iniesta at Barcelona.
Yeah,
players around him. Yeah. And he'll maneuver it out of situations and keep possession. That's what Bernardo Silva does. And I appreciate him. I don't know whether the general kind of Premier League fan will maybe appreciate what he does. But I think he would, for me, would be a little under the radar, important player that's had a big season.
You are, mate. It's a good choice as well. And sometimes it isn't always about numbers and stats, because some players aren't those players. And the other thing I'd say with him, Rob, is in terms of numbers and stats might not be there. You put football IQ on the table. This fella's ability to read space, to know where to run, to sometimes pull out so somebody can go inside and create the moles, sometimes come narrow. Just that understanding, that football intelligence is off the charts. And with that in mind, I just wanted to, I felt like, and I think we touched on it the last podcast, and just before we move on, maybe in terms of who might the contenders be next season, where do we think the challenges have come? I just felt like we again just need to tip of the hat to Pep in a way that three titles now. Arsene Wenger won three, Jose Mourinho won three. Three of the greatest, you know, we've had from overseas. Pep's got three and he's got some time in his hands where you think you'd be surprised if three is his final number. But more than that, Rob, I was thinking for English football, what he's done in Phil Foden, as an example, that's a great mark. Phil Foden, forever, wherever he plays, whoever he plays with and under, has had a schooling under Pep Guardiola that stands him in great stead. Point one. The second thing, Robert, I was thinking is, I don't think we'll appreciate Pep enough until he's gone, because what he's done with English football, he's challenged us. He's made us think differently. Every coaching exam, every coaching credential in England should be looking at its systems and its way of playing, and he's brought something that's not only great on the eye and good in possession, but it wins. Yeah. So he's kind of left something that says, think about it other ways, guys. It's not always just 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. Players can play two or three positions. Systems can be fluid and change. You can win things without a centre forward. And I think that's really important that we as a game in England, we think now we've got some of the best coaches. We've got a lot of the best coaches, but most of them have come from overseas. We've got to make sure our English coaches are having that same depth and breadth and experience and flexibility as we're seeing from some of these German coaches, Spanish coaches and Dutch coaches who are coming into our league and starting to show us there's a different way of doing things.
Couldn't agree more, my friend. Couldn't agree more. What a great comment that was, and the way that he's done it, with the style that he's done it, it's the hardest way to do it. You know, winning games with expansive football is risky football, and that's what he's all about. He totally trusts the way that he plays, and it is different. We've never seen a team as dominant, really, Rob, have we? No. There's been great sides. I'm not trying to compare them against the Invincible, Sir Alex Ferguson's teams, but my goodness, isn't it fun to watch? And isn't it like, wow, how dominant they are in games where teams really are like, oh, blimey, we're going to chase shadows. We sit back and they find a way through. You're absolutely right. And you're also right when you say we won't appreciate it until he's gone, until we see teams win it in different ways. And it's going to be tighter and it's going to be a little bit more of a battle, possibly. The way that his team plays and the tactical nature of how he does it is pretty special. And you're right to bring it up because, you know, he's on the brink of the Holy Grail for Manchester City as a football club, to get them to the promised land, to win that Champions League title, that it feels like he needs to cement himself in, obviously, Manchester City, but in some ways, English football and some of the greatest managers that England's ever seen. Yeah. You know, we've seen this, the 100 points and the over 100 goals, but the Champions League is really what he's got to show. And I just think, and to be fair, you know, with this defensive improvement, I just thought, this is it. This is the time, because he's got attacking flair for sure. But I now see a defensive side determination that wasn't there before. And that, in my opinion, is gonna get them to where they want to be.
Makes them different. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Should we move on to the Chelsea game today?
Well, just the last thing that we were going to
talk about potential challenges
for next season.
Yeah.
And that does take us into our next game. But I just think, and we'll talk Chelsea in a second, but I think with Chelsea's improvement, Manchester United, Rob, will absolutely believe that next season is their season. And it could be. It could be. Yeah. With I'm expecting actually some money to be spent, given the kind of the ownership pressure and the talk about improving the squad again this summer. I feel they're going to go for it with somebody. Cavani has signed for another season, which is great news for them. It might stop them going for Harry Kane, but they might use the money in other areas. Who else might? Liverpool, I think, can go again.
Will be better, Those injured players back, they'll probably be one or two in, maybe one or two out. I think they'd like to feel they can go again.
Who do you think could be? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, without...
Yeah. Chelsea with the right addition up front can absolutely close the gap. Not quite sure they're ready to win it, but can close the gap. Absolutely. Be maybe part of it if they, you know, start well, get a run of form. Outside of that, Robert, I find it hard to think that either the two North London clubs will challenge for it.
No.
I'm interested in and I say it a little bit tongue in cheek, but I don't miss the devil. Little Leicester. I'd like to see Little Leicester go again with Brendan. It's you know, the younger players. It'll be a learning if they can, you know, massive win for them. Yesterday, it gives them a great chance of Champions League football. Can they go again, Rob, with a little few additions? We see Iheanacho come in. You know, Bobby Barnes will be back. Madison, hopefully, fit. That midfield, Ndidi and Tielemans. There's a lot of good pieces with Leicester City. Mm-hmm. They might be one, Rob, who, again, do I think they'll win it? No. Could they go closer? I believe so.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes, Rob, with young players, which brings us on nicely to Chelsea.
Yeah.
What's so exciting for me about young players, you don't really know where their ceiling is yet.
Yeah.
We don't know where some of these young Leicester players' ceilings are. Mm. And we certainly don't know where some of the Chelsea ceilings are, some of the young players. Now, Chelsea 0, Arsenal 1.
Yeah.
A bit of a shocking result. I remember the lineup, and it's full of their younger players up front, Mason Mount, Christian Pulisic, and Kai Havertz. I think the oldest player is 22. It's a really young front line. And everybody, for the most part, is excited about them for the FA Cup, Champions League final, and what they might do next year, Rob. What did you think to this performance? I mean, I was pretty critical. Like just, I know there's one game where the focus in 3 days, by the way, in 3 days, the FA Cup.
I wondered if that has an effect. I wonder if that has an effect, especially for a young player. I mean, maybe for some of them, it's the first FA Cup final. Or, you know, being part of something where, you know, it's that first medal that you're going to win. I don't know if that plays a part. While it was a young front line, I didn't think it's a front line I'm looking and thinking can give Arsenal all kind of problems. Havertz, Mount and Pulisic, if they click into gear, that's the problem. So right. I'm not feeling like, oh, it's a young team. Oh, you know, the focus isn't there. I just thought it was really interesting comments from Thomas Tuchel, and where he said he made too many changes. I think sometimes I've always said, and I've played in teams where if a manager makes too many changes, it sometimes takes a little bit of the seriousness out of it. Well, he's making all these changes. Tend to see. I don't know if it's just a mentality that gets in my head. And the other thing I'd look at it is opportunities for some players. Some players, if you get a shirt in this team, you got to make it as an opportunity because that's your chance of playing the next game. You'll obviously be you know, thinking about this FA Cup. But I thought more than anything, Rob, the biggest thing that I came back and I thought, this is a proper manager who's got his eyes and his feel all over the football club when he said, I smelt it, I felt it in training. I thought that was a really compelling thing that he said, because you do, we've been there, you know, it some days in training it's buzzing and everything's going well, you can't wait for the game, and other days it's a bit sloppy and people are not quite on it and it's a bit easy-ozy. And I just get the sense he picked that up yesterday, and it was interesting that he said it after the game.
Yeah, well, you consider that they came through against Real Madrid last weekend. Last Saturday they beat Manchester City 2-1. They're in the FA Cup final on Saturday. Maybe a little bit of complacency, Rob. Like, this is an Arsenal team that have struggled. There's no one really to fear at Arsenal right now. I thought Kai Havertz was sloppy. It was casual. You saw it from his shot over the bar that just kind of ran through and hit it over. Mason Mount was as quiet as I've seen him. Again, it's not to say that these players, you know, can't have a bad day.
Yeah, of course they can.
But they did. Yeah. Pulisic was in and out of the game a little bit. I thought they wasted the first half. Second half, they livened up a little bit and they warmed up. To an exciting last 10 minutes. But it's just an off day. We showed a run of clips on the broadcast that it was a bad day, bad efforts, offside goal, hit the crossbar. But Tuchel, always honest afterwards. The only thing I would say, Rob, he said too many changes. But just back on your point a little bit. But those changes were good changes. Havertz didn't play against Man City, didn't start. Mason Mount didn't. Ben Chilwell didn't. So it's not as though...
Yeah, but like, you wouldn't say either of those three were particularly on top of the game. Looked like it was almost like they probably preferred not to have played today.
Yeah, which is like, what? Why would they prefer that? They're rested up; they should be ready to go.
I think of this the weekend. It's the only thing I could think. But I mean, it's a right point. It's a fair point. They have been rested. You know, Alonso played and left. You know, Chilwell comes in. I mean, I don't know who's his number one choice. You would think Chilwell in that position for the weekend, but it may not be a given.
What about goalkeeper, Rob? Kepa, kind of a weird one. Like, I mean, okay, so we know that Kepa's been the number two goalkeeper, and he has been the FA Cup goalkeeper. Is he, so one or two things here, I was talking to Tim Howard about it, is he trying to give Kepa a warm-up game that he's sharp in the FA Cup final, or... is he going to custard pie Kepa?
Yeah.
Right? And play Mendy on Saturday.
So I think more Kepa the second. The more the second. Yeah. Oh. I think so. Well.
Wow. So he's let him play at the
Do you think he gave him a game to sharpen him up ready for
maybe.
The
game's ready to go. Yeah. It's one of those two.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it could go either way. I'm not sure. I think I sense with this guy, he's ruthless enough not to think, okay. I'll go with what's strongest. The best thing for the football club, the strongest,
I'll take
a little bit of emotion and that out of it. Sorry, Kepa, come in the room, I need to have a chat with you.
Wow.
But that would be interesting. And these are some of the things, as a new manager in a football club, you have to think about, because they have lasting effects sometimes. These kind of decisions, you know, on players, whether you're playing in the FA Cup final or not, whether you're involved in the first team picture, you know, some players can take that quite hard.
Well, what's funny, right? And Tim won't mind me telling the story, but he said it happened to him. He was the League Cup goalkeeper at Manchester United.
Yeah.
He gets him all the way to the final. He gets a custard pie off of Sir Alex Ferguson. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Van der Sar comes in and they win the cup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds, and he said it's like, I'm gutted.
Yeah, devastating, but yeah.
Yeah, but I guess he got his winner's medal, which totally deserved because he was a goalkeeper. Yeah. Most uh-huh. But that sort of thing can happen, I guess. Yeah. There's certain managers that are ruthless about it. So, funny story, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Tim thought more of the second bit, like,
yeah.
I think he's going to play on Saturday. Yeah,
I think more so. Than
give him a warm-up game.
Little line on Arsenal, mate, because it's a good win for him. Didn't particularly play brilliant. Got, you know, good press that forced the mistake for the goal. They get the goal. It's enough to hang on to. Chelsea keep missing chances. And despite having all the possession, I think you said on air, it didn't particularly work the goalkeeper in a way that you got like Bert Leno was pulling out worldy saves, which is a bit of a worry, you know, for all that possession. It was a bit like early Chelsea. I haven't turned that possession into creativity, which is, you know, the Man City thing. For all that possession, then they have three or four great, you know, that ball goes across the six-yard box. Don't quite have that bit nailed down yet, Chelsea. But good result for Arsenal. Interesting response from Mikel Arteta about his comments in the press conference that he thought got misconstrued. I quite like it. I like that he's fiery. I like that he's supporting his players. I like that he doesn't want to be misquoted. And that's okay for me, because I kind of feel with Mikel, he's going to have to go through a few tough times, a tough summer, some tough decisions. He's got to now do his job, and that's okay. And being prickly sometimes is not a bad thing. Just keep those press on the toes.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. I wrote down, like, fiery Mikel. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, I mean, he did kind of say that.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good old Sir Alex Ferguson was a master of it, and Jose.
He just basically confirmed with a question. The question was like, "Have you had everything from, you know, all of your players this season?" He said, "Well, for the majority." So, and of course, the headlines, the quick, the papers and stuff were on it, and I think it upset him, really upset him. Some of his players, Rob.
Yeah.
Maybe something like, you know, we've given it, you know, I don't know. But he was super fiery today with it. And because he got the victory, you know, that's when managers, like, can have a little bit of a pop back because they've had a victory.
Him,
I mean, I tell you what he did as well. Tactically, Rob, of course, I'm sure you noticed that he went exactly the same as Chelsea.
Yeah, matched up, didn't he? Yeah.
Matched up. And I've got to say, the first half, they knocked the ball around quite well.
Mm.
Defensively, when you got Tierney and you had Saka
on the outside,
five at the back happened defensively. Yeah. You had Elneny and Partey. And it's kind of what Chelsea do. They play with a five sometimes and two holders.
Yeah.
I thought it suited them pretty well. I don't know if Arsenal have done it. They've played with a three at back at some point during the season.
Yeah.
But I just think they might revisit this. Suited for Smith Rowe, who played well. Odegaard, Aubameyang. Up front, didn't look happy when he was substituted.
No, he didn't.
Really unhappy. That's not a good relationship there.
We'll see what happens with that one. Yeah, obviously, you know, there's a little bit of history. But yeah.
Good signs, isn't it? Good signs.
And it's a bit like, I think, Tuchel came in at Chelsea and looked at the partnerships, didn't really see the partnership like, and went three. And I think Mikel Arteta might benefit from that with Arsenal as well. I don't see a great pair. Maybe three centre-backs just fills in the right spaces, gets people in the right holes, and then you've got a bit of pace, a bit of creativity with Tierney and Saka. So, good result for Arsenal. And just keeps the door slightly open in European football for them. I mean, I know it's a tough one. I'm trying. Yeah. But, still a little outside look at it. Let's move forward to Manchester United.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, it's a big game. Certainly, United wanted to win it, I think, for themselves first and foremost, then to make sure that City don't win the title. Leicester need to get back to winning ways after a bit of a dodgy run, draw against Southampton, defeat against Newcastle, not a good performance. And Leicester got the job done, my friend, in difficult circumstances, going away from home against an informed Manchester United. it was a little bit of reassurance to Brendan and his group, because I just felt like confidence, another defeat, and confidence might have taken a knock. And they've got a tough run now. Just looking at what they got left of the FA Cup at the weekend, and then they're away at Chelsea in the league, and at home at Spurs. So they've got a couple of tough games. So that win was crucial for them.
Absolutely massive. And you saw it, Rob, the celebration on the field with the players, proper celebration, the manager beaming smile. That was such an important win. And fair play to Leicester. I don't think they're playing particularly great. Mm. I think they're limping over the line a little bit, and I'm not surprised with the amount of games and the size of the squad. It is pretty much the same players, Rob, each game for Leicester with a couple of tweaks. But what did you, of course, the headline with this game is like the 10 changes to Manchester United. They played Sunday. Yeah. This was Tuesday. They're playing Thursday against Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the top four race, to kind of help Leicester with a weakened team is big. They're going to go strong tomorrow against Liverpool.
We'll see.
Liverpool fans were basically on the back of Man United not being able to fulfill the fixture, the fans' protest, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
They're going to be livid, aren't they? Are you okay with 10 changes
for
this game and its effect on the outcome of the tournament?
I don't like the situation because I think it's ridiculous to have to play in that time. But I have to say on this one, I'm okay with Ollie. I've got to look after my own ship. My ship is getting, a decent, I have to put a decent team out against Liverpool because that's in the history and nature of the football club. I've got so many games. I've got a rest and rotate coming up. I've got a Europa League final coming up where I might not have my captain. I've got to do what's best for me and my football club. And unfortunately, and I get the Liverpool thing, and obviously it's a big rivalry, and obviously with all those things, but that's very secondary to my main thing. I'm manager of Manchester United Football Club. I want to finish second in the league. I want to win the Europa League, and I want to protect my players, Rob.
I have read some stuff from United fans a little bit. We're still in the title race.
Mm.
We basically chucked a game to Leicester. We were still in it. I think they're going to play these games and potentially be one.
Yeah, point yeah. Newcastle could have been if Newcastle had beaten City and they'd have won it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
They're
optimistic United fans. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit moaning about it. Shouldn't have made so many changes. Let's try and get the job done and still be
ready. But if you did, would those same people, if you'd have played Cavani and Green, and then they got an injury and you lose one of them, you can't win, can you? So, I mean... Yeah. Listen, it's not great, and it's not great for the league because you want that competitive edge in all the games. But I get it from Ollie, and I've got to be honest, if I was sitting in that big seat, I'd probably do the same.
Fast forward, my friend. Tomorrow, Thursday, massive game, 15 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. What a game it is! Give me some odds, mate.
So, Point Bet Sportsbook, our partners have given us some odds. They see Liverpool slight favourites. At +135. They see Manchester United at +185. And they have the draw at +250. So Liverpool slight favourites at +135. United at +185. The draw stands at +250. Where is your 50 cents each way going?
My 50 cents each way, sit on the fence, is the draw. At
Come on.
I mean, that's where my money be going.
I'm going to edge.
I'm definitely going to give you a winner. If there's to be a winner.
Yeah.
I think it's Man United, Rob.
I think it's Man United.
Let me tell you why before you, let me tell you why. United obviously rested.
Yeah.
Be hurting from a little bit of criticism, be hurting a little bit from the Leicester loss. I don't believe they've got a game at the weekend.
I think they're off, aren't they, this weekend, yeah.
I think they're off. So everything to give. Mm. And I keep going back to Liverpool's back line. I'm picturing, imagining Reece Williams and Nat Phillips against Edison Cavani, Paul Pogba, Bruno and Marcus Rashford that should all be ready and able to play in this game.
Yeah.
I know Liverpool's desire to go and try and win the game. So in that expansive part of it, I just think United will be like, okay, you come and attack us. We've got some talent and firepower and pace and experience and goal-scoring threat when we go forward. And I don't think the Liverpool defenders I mean, this is as high, almost a higher level as attacking players you're going to get with some of those star players I've talked about. I think they make an impact, Rob, and an influence. And if I'm going for a winner, I think it'd be narrowly Manchester United.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. Just slightly United in that, you know, listen, Liverpool are going to have to hit those heights that we've not necessarily seen this season and almost sustain it through to the end of the season, Rob. You know, I know they've got West Brom, Burnley and Palace after this game. Almost got to win all those games to give themselves a chance at 69 points. But I agree with you. I just think that against that back line of maybe a Phillips and a Williams, against the craft and the pace and the movement, United, that's just going to be so hard. And then it's against a Liverpool front line who Mane scored last time out and Thiago got his goal, but is not quite firing in the same way. So at both ends of the pitch, just think.
And also, Rob, the last game.
No Maguire.
Yeah, there's United. No Maguire. That does
level it up a little bit, maybe. I don't think Lindelof and Bailly are quite at that same level.
No, that's a good point. Forgot about that. And by the way, he's going to miss, they reckon, the rest of the Premier League season.
Ligaments, isn't it?
It's a big doubt for the Europa League as well. The only thing I would say about Liverpool as well, it was Southampton they beat last time, Rob, and Alisson.
Made five, six good saves, didn't he?
Made a lot of good saves. So again, that just goes ties back into the shaky defence. Liverpool's been their bugbear all season long, of course.
Well, if Liverpool fans weren't happy about United putting out a weakened team against Leicester, they've got to do themselves a favour now. They've got to go to Old Trafford, get that job done, get the 3 points and give themselves a chance. Incentive for United, obviously, if they beat Liverpool, it pretty much makes it almost possible for them to make Champions League football. So, massive game, as ever, as they always are at Old Trafford. That's it for this week, mate, when Manchester City win the title courtesy of a Manchester United defeat. So that's three titles out of four for Pep's side as the Blue Moon rises again. We'll be back on Sunday, May the 16th, when we'll look back at match week 36 and we'll review the FA Cup final played on the Saturday when Leicester faced Chelsea in the Wembley Show. Okay, but for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. We'll see you at the weekend. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.